Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, it's the Rundown, presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right, so over at The Athletic, they have come up with a very interesting exercise, Jason, where they have gone through, and I think it is quite an interesting, we see it all the time for, like, quarterbacks in the NFL, and we see it a lot of time for, you know, just, like, teams in the NFL, right? They have gone through and they have broken out men's college basketball coaches into tiers, right? Not the kind of tiers that I would have if I ever had the chance to meet The Rock, but tiers in the sense of, like, sections. See what I'm saying?
Yep.
T-I-E-R-S.
That's a good job.
And so they have broken this all down. They have not discriminated, in terms of, you know, in terms of Power Five, right? They have included, you know, pretty much everybody. So we'll start with tier one. Let's see how many are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 tier one head coaches.
Here we go.
How many can Jason get?
I don't know. Just give me Bill Self.
Bill Self is the bottom of tier one. He barely made the cut.
Really?
Yeah.
Might be a little higher on the list.
Well, your list. Well, this is Dane O'Neill and Brian Hamilton's list.
Well, just give us the rest of it.
Okay. Well, this is a tap out of epic proportions by you. This is a first round submission by Jason Smith.
I don't like when you do this.
Tony Bennett.
I guess
it's not pretty
because he's got the title,
right? But he's fallen off.
Yes,
he's fallen off. He doesn't. Nobody wants to play in it.
But I understand that these lists will still have him tier one. So go forward.
Cal.
Yeah.
Scott Drew.
Did you read the piece on him and leaving Memphis?
I did.
From Dana?
I did.
What did you think, real quick?
Well, she said Memphisian, and that's when I kind of checked out on the rest of the piece. I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm sorry. She said what?
She called Memphis citizens Memphisians.
No, she didn't.
She did, bro. She did. I love Dana, but that was
they have editors up there. There's no way that got through.
Like?
Memphisians.
Yeah. Like? Memphisians, bro. Like a frog.
Like amphibians?
Yeah.
Memphisian.
That's what yes. that's what people think we are. People think we're like think we're like radioactive mutant frogs in Memphis.
Is the Memphis one hard to do when you add that, you know?
I guess so.
Maybe for other people, I mean.
I don't think
I never
so.
Thought it was. I thought dropping that S was easy.
You know, Dana
Memphisian.
Dana can talk to somebody in Memphis. Ask Gary, what do they call people in Memphis? What do Memphians call themselves?
Tennessean. Has that been changed? That's been edited. They can do that. It's digital.
I don't
You should have sent up that correction, John.
Well, again, I don't work there anymore, so
sure
it's really
don't.
Not my response. If I did,
well,
I would say.
You helped her out a little bit. She's a colleague.
Well, not anymore. You
well,
know?
In the business.
Well, yeah, but it, not really.
Grief.
It's not my responsibility to be the ombudsman for Dane O'Neill.
No new friends.
So, anyway, yes, former Memphisian John Calipari made the list.
Okay, we got two of them.
Scott Drew.
Three of them, yeah.
Mark Few.
Scott Drew, of course.
Mark Few, Gonzaga, who you would say is not because he hasn't won a title. Very controversial on your part.
How much of that heavy lifting was Tommy Lloyd?
Well, I guess we're going to find out, aren't we? Kelvin Sampson, Houston.
Yes.
Bill Self of Kansas, as you mentioned.
I should have said Kelvin first.
Rounding out the list, you'd have never got this name in a million years, Rick Pitino at Iona. Yeah, that was a favor there. In terms of tier two, there's 2A and 2B. They kind of did tier 2A, tier 2B. Tier 2A, Dana Altman, Rick Barnes, Chris Beard, Ed Cooley, Mick Cronin, Leonard Hamilton, Sean Miller, Eric Musselman, Matt Painter, Bruce Pearl.
I know you hate that Leonard Hamilton's in there.
Well, he's gotten some Sweet 16s and stuff under his belt.
Better
so.
Believe it. Longevity, brother.
Yeah.
Respect.
Tier 2B, Jim Boeheim and Bob Huggins.
There's only two in 2B?
Yeah. I'm not sure why they.
Weird.
I don't know. Again, I had nothing to do with this project. I'm simply passing it along because we're eventually going to get to Penny Hardaway. Tier 3, Randy Bennett, Mike Bray, Hubert Davis, Jamie Dixon, Greg Gard, Anthony Grant, Chris Holtman, Juwan Howard, Dan Hurley, James Jones at Yale, Tommy Lloyd, Thad Matta, Fran McCaffrey, Greg McDermott, Nico Medved, Porter Moser, Nate Oates, Shaka Smart, Kevin Willard, Buzz Williams, Brad Underwood, and rounding it out, Mike Young. So we still have not stumbled upon Penny Hardaway.
Shade.
I thought he would be, if you put Juwan on this list and you have Hubert Davis on this list, I know they made a championship last year.
Yeah, it's the runs. It seems like that's the difference, right?
James Jones at Yale. I mean, what did Yale do? Nico Medved at Colorado State? What? And no Penny Hardaway? I don't understand that. Tier 4. Okay, we're working our way down the list here. He is the face of Tier 4, Penny Hardaway. They actually, they used his picture.
Who's he in there with?
Some pretty mid names, to be honest with you.
Well, this will tell us whether he's underrated. I think that if he should be above this group, I think this will say a lot.
Mark Adams from Texas Tech, Casey Alexander from Belmont, John Becker, Tad Boyle, Mike Boynton, Darian DeVries from Drake, Brian Dutcher, San Diego State, Andy Enfield, Steve Forbes, Joe Golding, Eric Henderson, South Dakota State, Shaheen Holloway from Seton Hall, the Tulsa coach, Jim Larinaga, the North Texas coach, Grant McCasland, Matt McMahon at LSU, T.J. Otzelberger at Iowa State, the Rutgers coach, whose name I always butcher, Leon Rice at Boise State, Mike White, Georgia, Mike Woodson, Indiana. I missed a couple of other guys who you wouldn't recognize. But
did you say Stansberry anywhere, just out of curiosity?
Stansberry he has not been said. No,
okay.
His name has not been said. Because he's not a good coach, he's a great recruiter, right? I mean, so that's tier four. This is what they wrote about. They wrote about Penny Hardaway. They had a whole thing about him, right? This is what they said. What to do with Penny Hardaway? ? He hasn't won fewer than 20 games as Memphis's coach. He also has gotten in his own way on occasion. Quote, he had a loaded team this year and it got away from him for a while, end quote, an industry insider says. And he's produced roughly the same results as predecessors Tubby Smith and Josh Pastner. Now, I think that's a ridiculous sentence. I think that is absolutely insane. Tubby Smith never got to the NCAA tournament. Tubby Smith never won. He never won 20 games, correct?
20 is easy to win.
I know.
Go back and look. You can go on. I can go
maybe
find
he,
it. I want to say he got to 20, but
maybe
that was one of their claim to fame. I want to tell you that his boy was going around
recruiting wise, got to the tournament,
anyway.
Competed in the league. Tubby Smith never did that. Tubby Smith could have been absolutely left out of that sentence. Anyway, I continue. The rocket ship has not launched, but neither has it teetered over and fallen to pieces. Quote, the thing I like about Penny is he wants to be better, a former coach says. He wants to be good at this. He's not resting on his laurels. He's trying to be a better coach. I think he's a little too sensitive with criticism. He brings a lot of that upon himself. He's got all of the support he needs locally from his university and his fans. He doesn't need to worry about that stuff. He should be above it. That is what
they say
about
Penny. Stop asking me stupid f***ing questions.
Yeah, 17-18, that second year, Tubby's 21-13. First year, he won 19.
Okay, so he only won 20 games one time out of the two.
Yeah, the two. Like I said, 20 ain't much anymore. He played 31 in the regular season.
Right, it's not as impressive. Any thoughts? Do you think he should be in Tier 3?
Yeah.
I think he should probably be in Tier 3.
Well, I asked about Stansberry for a reason. The fact that he's not on any of this kind of goes against the point I was going to make, but how do you have the number two most feared recruiter?
He's Tier 5.
Okay, Stansberry. You got the number two, whose list was that, Goodman's? Number two recruiter in college basketball, in Penny Hardaway.
Yeah, that was
had two number one classes.
Yeah.
And we know that, yes, some of it's been self-inflicted. Plenty of it's been self-inflicted. But you see a program now on the rise. You see a program that's capable to go out and get in the top transfer on the market. And you tell me, so if he's in Tier 4, you're setting aside, you're saying, okay, great recruiter, but he ain't a good coach at all, right? Because that's what sucks you down to 4. And we've seen from Penny, at least the thing we know he can do, he's pretty much an expert at this point, is defensively,
We've heard it from other coaches, John. You've had the pieces where they talk about how hard his team plays defensively. So the dude isn't just getting great talent. He's coaching it up, especially on the defensive end. Yeah, still things to figure out offensively. Point guard helps. I think Penny's biggest thing right now is the roster construction, right? Figuring out what you want, how it all fits. And it's going to be different years. But I feel like four is too low with what he's proven. You know, could you sit here and make a case, well, Jason, he's only won one NCAA tournament game for you. Sure, you can do that, but I think we see a guy who's got it figured out, and what I agree with, whoever said it in the piece there, a guy who wants to be better, too. A guy who doesn't think he has it all figured out. What else can I do? Oh, have Larry Brown in here. Oh, now I'm going to bring Frank Haith. What more can I learn? That's always a sign to me, a guy who can move up. I think he should be tier three.
I think that's,
especially when you bring in the recruiting aspect of it.
Yeah,
nobody wants to see Penny Hardaway in a college.
I do, in a gym. I do think recruiting is a part of the job.
It is. It's a huge. It's half the battle. You know. And then he's got the other. You know, a bunch of the other boxes checked, especially with the way how hard they play, the way he gets elite level prospects to lock in defensively. That's a sign of a guy who can coach and a guy who's shown us too and admitted it last year. Thought this was key to. I messed up. After initially pointing the finger at the players, seniors, you guys need to be better, take care of my young guys, he figured out, you know what, I did it wrong in terms of putting that much on, you know, my freshman guard who wasn't a point guard, essentially, in Amani Bates. You know, when you could admit those things, I just think I think it speaks well of you in terms of your growth, what you're capable of in terms of growth. And I think Penny Hardaway's still growing.
TJ from Twitter says he'd rather be called a Memphisian than a Memphisian. I would just rather be called a Memphis, right? Or just MF, just MF me. I'd rather be called an MFer than a Memphisian.
Should he be higher than four?
Yes, he should be a three.
Okay, so we agree.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean,
should because definitely should easily be in three.
Yeah, because of
this is not home cooking here.
Because of the recruiting angle, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that is so much a part of the job, you know, and just your public sort of. You know, your support, right? I think that goes all into a bag. So, I mean, there's guys on that tier four that Penny has no business being lumped in there with, right? Matt McMahon has proven nothing at LSU, right? He's a first-year coach. I mean, he was good at Murray State. I give him that, you know. And maybe he's a bad example. Matt McMahon's probably a good coach, right? If you can win at Murray State and get the talent, even though you're sort of benefiting from the Ja effect, right? You're probably pretty good, right? You're probably a pretty good coach. But there's some others on there. Regardless, that is what The Athletic thinks about Penny Hardaway. It'll be up to him to move up in the rankings with a good performance this year.
Next story.
Thursday Night Football tonight on Amazon. We're used to it now. Don't need to talk about what you got to do and all that. Get yourself a Prime subscription. If you haven't, what are you doing? It's a slick good one is the way we're describing this game. Dolphins 3-0 playing at the Bengals 1-2. Bengals got off the schneid last week, knocked off the Jets. Only gave up 2 sacks in that game after I believe it was 13 in the first couple of games. So they cleaned some things up on that offensive line. Tua Tagovailoa, John mentioned it earlier, is expected to go tonight, even though he's dealing with both back and ankle injuries. Maybe a concussion or not. As Matt Wall said with us earlier in the week, Mike Wall, excuse me, said with us earlier in the week, you know, that's going to be looked into so hard that would the Dolphins risk it to that point?
Mm-hmm.
You know, not have put him through the concussion protocols. Either way, Tua expected to be back out there tonight. If he's not, Teddy Bridgewater will go. Either way, most folks have the Bengals in this one. They're 3.5-point favorites. Everybody on GetUp picked them. Almost makes me want to go the other way. Total's 48. In terms of the game itself, you got a matchup of some pretty pretty good receiving duos here. There's no question about it. They were asking that, too, this morning, which one you like better, Hill or Waddle or Chase and T. Higgins. I'll be honest with you. I think it's easy at this point. You know how much I love Ja'Marr Chase. Hill and Waddle have combined for 659 yards, 5 touchdowns this season. I think they're 2 and 3 overall in terms of receiving yards. Yeah, Waddle is number 2 in receiving yards behind only Stephon Diggs. Tyreek Hill, number 3 right now. And based on, you know, T. Higgins has had, what, the concussion issue earlier on this season. I love me some Ja'Marr Chase, but if it's between the two of those tandems, give me the Dolphins one all day long, especially as proven as Tyreek Hill is. He has made that there's no question, he's made that Dolphin offense so dynamic. We'll see what happens tonight. In terms of best receiving duos in the league, who would you roll with? Because you can't put Hill and Waddle at the top yet.
Yeah.
Could be on their way.
I mean, I think overall, I think I'd have to roll with Cincinnati's.
Mm-hmm. Duo?
Yeah.
Then you are saying you like Chase and T. Higgins better.
I think I have to roll with them. I think I have to roll because
it's almost 300 fewer yards this season between the two of them.
Gabe Davis is not there yet, right?
He's Gabe and Stephon.
He's on his way up, right? He's on his way up. I think he's going to be there, but I have a hard time putting them. Like you could get, like I think T. Higgins can have a Jamar Chase game any day, and Jamar Chase, we know what he's capable of, right? They've had offensive line woes. They've had a tough start to the season. I think both of those guys are going to have massive games tonight, T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. Mm. I just think if I was taking today and for the next 10 years, how can I take anybody ahead of T. Higgins and Jamar Chase?
How do you not take A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, if you're talking about for the future?
Because T. Higgins has produced more than Devontae has at this
point. It's early for Devontae. You see what he did last week?
It is, but I've seen it already from T longer than, I mean, I don't doubt that that will be one of the tandems in Philly. You don't think T. Higgins and Jamar Chase belong in that conversation?
They're in the conversation. I'm surprised at how readily you are to put them number one right now.
Just because they got to the Super Bowl last year, T. Higgins, I mean, let's look with, I mean, because
it ain't Jamar, it's T.
Right. I mean, that's the question, right?
Exactly.
So let's
pull up. It's how strong is your number two?
Let's pull up. I mean, I think Teague is a one in a lot of offenses, right?
Well, that's what we're talking about here. When you're talking about A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, both of those are essentially ones. I mean, Thielen was a one with Jefferson, and I bring up Thielen. You say, well, Jason, he's at the end. He caught 10 touchdowns last year, and you got Justin Jefferson, who's one of the best.
As a rookie, he was just shy of 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns, 908, 6 touchdowns, 67 receptions. Last year, 74 catches, 1,100 yards and 6 touchdowns. I mean, as a two, that's going to be about as good as you get, right? I mean, Adam Thielen, I think if Adam Thielen were a little younger, right, mm-hmm. I think that they would add, because Justin Jefferson is so amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last year, I think Adam Thielen benefited from a lot of touchdowns, but I don't think the yardage was there. Yeah, he only had 726 yards last year.
That's fair. Have 10 touchdowns. I mean, he's on the down end. It's the touchdowns that keep him in the conversation for those two.
I mean, look,
and how good
which
Jefferson
are obviously
is.
Valuable, right? I mean, your ability to get open in the red zone is something that you know, that should be stated.
Yeah, but we're talking about upward trajectories for Thielen. That's a downward one, even as good as Justin is.
Yeah, and you know, Waddle did break the record last year. It's just like, do you really believe that Tyreek Hill? I mean, they could be, bro. They could be the answer too.
What, in just his second season, Waddle has 123 receptions through 19 games, the second most of any player in their first 20 games ever.
Yeah, I mean, they probably
Waddle and Tyreek got an argument, and they're 2-3 this year.
Do you believe it over the course of the season? Do you believe that they're going to, you know?
I mean, if you keep Tua upright, I don't believe you got Bridgewater back there, because mm-hmm. we know what happens to the offense when you got him back there. But you keep Tua back there, who's super comfortable with him now and willing to go deep now. I think they can continue to put up these numbers.
Is this the problem with the Raiders? You have two of the best receivers.
No, we only have the one.
They got one and a tight end.
Hunter can perform if you get him the ball.
Brad has put Hunter up there, man.
You crazy put Hunter Renfro that high after what he did.
I have lists in front of me from several sites that say that.
No,
they,
I think Hunter's a really, really good number two.
They paid him.
I do.
They got to get him the damn ball. He's got to hang on to it.
I like him better as a slot than I do. I think the real answer in Vegas is Mac Hollins. As your number, like Mac Hollins after that.
He might be a beast.
Return of the Mac.
Yeah, that's true.
Has he bounced around the NFL, though?
Yeah.
I didn't just find him. Okay.
Oh, yeah. He was with Miami last year. Yeah, he was
so
like.
So that's self-made but he, stuff but he, but that he's
was
doing
like,
right now.
He was like a leader, though. He's like one of the team captains on special teams. You know, you're like, you know.
He made a heck of a special teams play in that game.
Everybody keeps, exactly. Everybody keeps a guy like you'd like to keep a leader like who doesn't necessarily need the ball. I mean, I don't think we are in that conversation as of yet.
Cup Allen Robinson are in the conversation. They just can't get Robinson on track yet. But that's two number ones all day long. And Cup is, you could argue, the best.
Yeah. Again, I just think in terms of.
And you mentioned, I'm not going to take your one when we were off air. The Chargers have got a pretty good duo right
now.
Yes,
yes. Oh, yeah. Well, and we have not.
Sometimes Mike doesn't show up, but.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he
can do what he did last Thursday or two Thursdays ago.
100%.
Have those kinds of games, right? We have not mentioned the Bucs either. Mike Evans and Chris Godwin.
When they are healthy, Godwin and Mike Evans got to be on any list of best duos.
Yeah. I mean, they're very, very injury prone at this stage in their careers, but when they are out there, the Bucs offense looks – it's terrorizing. It's absolutely terrorizing when those two are on the field because it's like pick your poison. Chris Godwin will slice you up over the middle in the intermediary, and then Mike Evans is your downfield threat, right? I mean, that's – I mean, there's a lot of great receivers in the NFL now.
Yeah, and there's some great tandems, that's what he's saying. Yeah. Yeah. Named off about good 7-8 teams, 9 teams, they got great tandems. Yeah,
if guys
that are really one and ones.
Yeah, if Trevor Lawrence got one of those guys, like the Jags could for real take off. Because the defense, I'm just telling you, the defense is there in Jacksonville.
I'm the one who took the Jags last week. I'm looking smart. I believe in them.
Even if you'd have got the worst number at +3, you'd have been more than safe, right?
Yeah, I got it when it was +7. Right?
I think the mission for the Jags needs to be getting the getting him a true number one, right? We've seen what that can do for Tua. We've seen what that can do for Jalen Hurts. Okay, Christian Kirk, you gave a lot of money to, but you know that he ain't that dude, bro. He is not AJ Brown or Tyreek Hill. So, I really do. I mean, I think it's going to be. I think it should be a light show tonight. I mean, I know Tua's got he's got everything except a concussion, apparently. Ankle, neck,
ankle and back. Yes, officially, at least according to the Dolphins. Ankle,
toe,
and back,
foot.
Says he's been doing everything he can, John, to be
buttock.
Ready.
Yeah. Bro got every injury in the book except a concussion.
I will tell you, two in that injury history, it's scary. You like what you've seen from him when it's good, but, I mean, he stays banged up. And that's if you're banking on him being the guy, that's got to be part of it, too. He just finds a way to be hurt all the time. Anyway, Cincinnati, Dolphins tonight. John thinks Bengals going to win.
Next story.
okay, this is going to be a storyline that we're monitoring, I think, all season long, and especially leading up to the preseason. Pelicans opened up training camp. On Tuesday.
I've heard the reports.
And yes, you have. According to the GOAT, Willie Green, Z looked amazing. Z, of course, big Z.
I don't think he's lying either. That's the scary part.
Is Zydrunas Ilgauskas.
Willie Green only tells the truth, John, as you know.
Willie Green is really green, bro. He said Z looked amazing. His strength, his speed, he dominated the scrimmage pretty much. I don't know if you saw the press conference, right? He looks like he's in really good shape, right? Zion looks like he's been in the gym.
Why wouldn't he be?
Well, you know how, like, he didn't, when he was here in Memphis, he looked like the damn.
You think after all that mess he took last year, he was going to come back fat and out of shape and pull a James Harden or something?
All I know is when the Pelicans were in Memphis at the end of the season, that dude looked like the Grimace.
His whole brand depends on it. Everything from the shoes to what he's worth, it all depends on him bouncing back.
He had that damn fuzzy hat on, looked like the damn Hamburglar. Zion did.
He sure did.
So, you know, I mean, that's.
But you can't make fun of old Zion. That's old Zion.
That's right.
You got a new Z. And
Zion,
I believe Willie Green.
Do you think, are you bullish on Zion Williamson and the New Orleans Pelicans? And of course, you're going to have to factor in injuries here. Are you bullish on them, or are you skeptical that it will look the way that people hope it will look?
Well, I want to be skeptical. I want them to be behind the Grizzlies and remain that way, at least for the time being, obviously, forever, if I had it my way. The problem is, I believe Willie Green. And we talked about, and John remarked on it last year, what C.J. McCollum brought to that outfit, just in terms of professionalism, a winning player, right? You put that around Brandon Ingram, you put it around Zion eventually, and I think just guys are going to be more willing to say, okay, well, if he says this is the way it should go, let's fall in. Now, the problem is, though, Zion needs that ball in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we couldn't figure out last year once you got McCollum, is what's it going to look like once you've got him back, you've got Brandon Ingram, is there enough to go around? Because Zion at his best is point forward,
mm-hmm.
is at his best, top of the key, isolation, I'm about to go to work, right, rather than some post up or whatever you're trying to get the ball. That's Zion at his best. Well, does that take, you know, that takes the ball out of CJ's hands. Now, we know CJ can do that, right? He can play the two playoff. Doesn't have to have it in his hands, but again, you got to feed Brandon Ingram. He's at his best, basically, when he's isolating, whether it's on the wing or up top, one-on-ones.
Yep.
And so it's a bunch of guys that kind of need that.
Yep.
In terms of, so how does Willie Green, the man, make that fit? Because that's the thing you didn't have to worry about last year was Zion. You know, how do we make it work, him having the ball in his hands so much with CJ and Brandon? That's the thing they got to work out. I like the pieces. And frankly, you know, maybe there's a good chance here Willie Green is a guy who can make it work. But those are the concerns.
I think those are, by the way, I think those are very real concerns, because it's a lot easier when you don't have the cornerstone of the franchise to worry about in terms of usage and, execution. It's a lot easier to bring in a guy like CJ and have Brandon Ingram there and have Jonas there and it looked fine, right? A lot easier. Okay.
We didn't even talk about Big Boy Jonas needing the ball.
Oh, yeah, that's why the Grizzlies traded him, right? I mean, that's essentially, among other reasons.
Well,
but
being that space eater inside.
Yeah, so, okay, what's going to happen when you have four guys who legitimately need to have the ball? Like, I think CJ could defer.
He
right?
can. He's done it. He can do it. But
I have major questions about Brandon Ingram's ability to do that. I don't think Brandon Ingram can be effective without the ball in his hands. And I don't think Zion can be effective without the ball in his hands. And I don't think Jonas is all that effective without the ball in his hands.
He was all NBA when they figured out, give him the ball top of the key and let him go to work. That's when he became an all-NBA player, Zion did.
Exactly.
So you're right. That's how do you mesh that with teams,
so
with what you figured out last year.
You know, ultimately what's going to happen is they're going to have to trade Brandon Ingram. I mean, so if you fall in love with a core of Zion, Brandon Ingram, and CJ McCollum, I got bad news. That ain't going to work. It ain't going to happen. It's too crowded. Because, again, can Brandon Ingram do anything without the ball? No. Like, he needs the ball, drive downhill, you know, go ISO, make big-time threes, you know? I mean, he's got to have that rock. And Zion's got to have the ball. That's ridiculous. So, I just feel like
Brandon was 32.7% from three last year.
Yeah.
You know, you'd think you'd want shooters around Zion. You know what I'm saying, guys?
Oh, yeah.
To your point, if Brandon's got to play off,
yeah,
he needs to be able to knock it down.
Exactly. It's a problem.
It's never been his bag.
He's a guy who really has to.
Year four was 38, though.
I mean, it's going to happen.
A little higher than I thought.
But he's just not.
He had two good years shooting the ball from three, but not last year.
Yeah, he's just not that guy, though. He's not the guy that's just going to go sit in the corner and wait for three. Like, he wants to score. And, you know, I mean, how many teams out there have four guys legitimately who need to have the ball? That's why it works in Memphis, right? For example, because there's a clear pecking order of who the ball is in the hands of, and like people get kind of uncomfortable when.
Well, have we completely figured it out though? Have we had them all on the floor enough at the same time last year to know that is it now Ja, Bane, Dillon? You know, where's Jaren fitting? Do we know what? I thought that's sort of what we were still trying to figure out a little bit this year.
Yeah, I mean,
now that you're going to have all pieces when Jaren gets back.
I think more so like who the number two is, but it's very clear who the number one is, right?
No, if true.
So
yes.
Is it clear in New Orleans? I don't know. I feel like you ask Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram might give you a different answer.
Oh, it should be Zion, then Ingram, period.
Does Jonas think he should be the number two?
If they're going to be successful, he got to know what's up, which is taking a step back.
Right. I mean, these are all
in terms of how much you're demanding the ball.
But yeah, that's the way Jonas plays, though.
His job is to offensive rebound, everything else, and stay out of the way in the paint, basically.
Like, I think the thing about the Grizzlies that's so good is that, you know, Desmond Bane does not, he has no ego, right? He can absolutely facilitate. Ja will facilitate. You know, Dillon will not. You know, Jaren does not get in his feelings about not having the ball, right? Sometimes we say he should shoot the ball more, right? He should be a little bit more aggressive. So that's the issue that the Grizzlies have. It's a totally different one in New Orleans where they're trying to figure out and establish something. That's harder to do.
So you feel pretty good we're going to keep him behind us?
I think so. I think that situation has a chance to be combustible beyond even just the injury threat to Zion, right? Mm-hmm. I think just getting everybody on the same page there is going to require some real sacrifice, and you know, everybody basically falling in line. Hey, this is not. I think CJ is a veteran. He's a pro. Like he's gonna be like, I 100% know this is Zion's team. But Brandon Ingram's an all-star, right? He has had some of the best years of his career there. And how old is Brandon Ingram? I mean, he's still got plenty of time, right? He is only 25 years old. I mean, there's no way that he is just going to take that line down. You know, things have been done a certain way. We've been doing it without you, bro. You can say all the right things in camp, but then when the ball gets tipped and the games start to matter, you know, he's not going to be able to average 23 anymore, bro. No way. There's no way.
I could see them having to eventually move off him, yeah.
I mean.
And feeling like you got to cash in and get something.
And by the way,
something that fits better.
This guy shot 46% from the floor, right? I mean, he has the right to be defensive, you know? He was freaking great, not from three, but as a scorer. I mean, there's a reason why he's an all-star. So I don't know. I think it's, you know, but he did have injury issues last year, so that could be something that they're coming at too. I just feel like Brandon Ingram's going to end up on a different team. That is my late September take here on the New Orleans Pelicans. They may need that, right? Ultimately, they may need to shed somebody to become who they will become. And Brandon Ingram feels like the far and away the most likely candidate to get there. But Zion, as far as he goes, and for his part, he apparently looks amazing so far in five-on-fives. So that is the news. All right, we will come back. Oh, you have one more?
I got one more.
Okay, one more from Jason for a second break.
Next story.
Let's keep it in the NBA. Just because Steve Nash says that Ben Simmons doesn't care if he never shoots a jump shot. It's not going to work that way. That's the simple point. He's spoken highly, and everyone has, of how good Simmons looks. He talks about the skill set. We know. I mean, the guy's a he can be a first-team All-NBA defensive guy, can be a playmaker for you in terms of bringing the ball up. We know all the good that Ben Simmons can be. It's what he can't do or what he hasn't proven that he can do. We saw it with Philly in terms of them crumbling at a time where you needed Ben Simmons to be aggressive offensively. He wilted under the pressure. I guess my question to you would be on a team that's got shooters, on a team that's got Kevin Durant, best offensive player in the game, Kyrie Irving, can you really get through a whole season and then do what you need to do in the playoffs, which for them it's championship or bust, with a guy as good as Ben Simmons not shooting the ball?
No,
with
it's
that kind of weakness.
It's a cylinder block. You know, I mean, it's like you're trying to play basketball with a cylinder block around your foot. If Ben Simmons is not shooting the ball, I mean, it's insane to me. And I know that, you know, there's, you know, the whole mental health aspect of this that he has claimed. But, you know, I just don't know how I don't know how you can proceed with a guy that's, you know, traumatized with the ball. He's crazy to me. You know, I mean, I know he's, you know, going to do what he does defensively and everything like that. But, I mean, if a guy is just if he's broken, you know, no, you're not going to win championships with a guy like that.
It'd be so interesting to see if he hesitate. I mean, everybody's going to be watching him, scrutinize him. Does he hesitate on a three? Is he over it? Does he still, you know, there's a ton riding on this. It feels like not just for the for Ben Simmons, but for the Nets in general. Right, having made this deal to get something out of this, they got nothing obviously last year. Again, it's one of those questions. Right now, we have no idea how this is going to go. Looks good on paper, could blow up like it has in the past. Especially when you got Steve Nash saying Ben Simmons ain't gonna have to shoot. No, he's gonna have to shoot at some point. NBA teams are smart,
especially
defensively.
He's getting paid.
Remember how Golden State played Tony Allen? Like you're gonna you know develop game plans right to exploit that. Maybe Ben Simmons will come back with a jump shot. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll come back. Jeff Calkins is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies, about the Tigers starting up practice, all that and more at 1:25. Stick around. Jason and John, 93.5 ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Shotgun.
guests appear on the Superbook Sports phone line. Superbook Sports. Download the Superbook Sports Tennessee app today with Jason and John, live from the Topps Barbecue Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
I never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of.
Our friend Jennifer Carstensen had a great post on Facebook earlier this week. She pointed out that we are coming out of a 15-year period where the federal interest rate was at or below 3%, a.k.a. historic lows, right? That means low interest rate on your student loans, your auto loans, your personal business loans, your CD rates, your bond yields, and, of course, mortgage interest rates. But while they're hiking rates as we speak, that's more about the balance, right? It's more about the industry just balancing itself out. Nothing's crazy. We've seen this before. This is not unprecedented. So it may still be a good time for you to list your home. It still may be a good time for you to buy. All you have to do to reach out to the Live Love Memphis team is email them, sold@livelovememphis.com.
She's fantastic at what she does. Go see for yourself. 901-625-5200. I did 4 years ago. I was in a bad, bad situation. Jennifer got me out of it. I couldn't believe it, to be honest with you. Then she got me in my dream home as well. Wife's still happy. CJ's happy. Everybody's happy. And everybody we've sent over to Live Love has had similar success. Dwight got $30,000 more than he thought because he went with Live Love. Dennis got $20,000 more than what other agents were telling him he's going to get for his home. That's why you call Jennifer Carstensen, 901-625-5200, or you can email them at sold@livelovememphis.com. Again, that's sold@livelovememphis.com. It's the Live Love Memphis and Live Love DeSoto teams at the real estate agency.
Yeah, some sad news, of course, yesterday, as Coolio, known for this song, yep, Gangsta's Paradise, passed away at the young age, very sad, of 59, only 59 years old. Don't know, obviously, what the cause of death was as we speak. But I remember Coolio, man, because he used to do a bunch of stuff with Keenan and Kale, man. I feel like he did the Keenan and Kale intro. So that was my introduction to Coolio. Yeah, I watched Keenan and Kale, bro. Back in the day, you know, 7, 8 years old on Nickelodeon.
Man, I hate that for you.
Here go. You don't remember Keenan?
No, I was not big on Keenan and Kale.
Well,
it
was way
bro.
Past you. I mean, how old are you?
In my 40s.
Yeah, dude, you would have been 21 years old. Mm-hmm. All right, if you're sitting there at 21 years
that's
old watching Keenan and Kel,
Good Burger stuff.
Yeah, well, I didn't like that. I was not a big Good Burger fan.
Mm-hmm.
Just didn't get it right. But Coolio did the Keenan and Kel theme music. So that was my introduction to him, and then of course the song. So sad to see that he was gone. He's gone at the age of
that's the part that struck
59.
Me. Too young.
Yeah.
Suspected heart attack, but we don't know.
Right, yeah. Tomorrow is just never promised, right? It is just never, ever promised, no matter how old or young you are. It is ever the reminder in this life. And tomorrow is not promised for the Pac-12, is the reporting, at least from Dennis Dodd. There may be no tomorrow for the Pac-12. And this is, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, one of your favorite topics to discuss here on radio.
Mm-hmm.
But according to Dennis Dodd, the Pac-12 is in danger of eventual collapse as the Big Ten considers further expansion. And, of course, the Big 12 interest looms. If the Big Ten can get one more significant payday, according to Dennis Dodd, that may be it for the Pac-12. Cal, Oregon, Stanford, Washington would be the targets for the Big Ten. And then, of course, the Big 12 would
come in and poach the rest.
You know,
of what it wants.
Right.
Arizona State, Colorado, Utah, right?
Yes.
And you would leave Oregon State and Washington State just out there in the cold.
Come on down to the AAC.
No, that ain't the way.
They go to the Mountain West?
I have no idea
They'd
what they
to.
Do, but my point is you ain't trying to. You talking about Memphis trying to make the AAC better. You better hope this thing just, it's the best case scenario for Memphis at this point. Forget Big 12. Like, it's ACC having to reorganize, no? To try to match all this?
Yeah, probably.
To try to match all this?
Why don't there's got to be a crappy football program that the AAC can add in response to this, right? I mean, there's got to be one out there somewhere we can. I mean, we can't. UTEP. Let's go get UTEP or New Mexico State or something.
It used to be a great rivalry we had there with UTEP and old CUSA, wasn't it?
How close is that to Juarez and the border?
You can see it.
Really?
Yeah.
So that was like a danger for you when you went down on that road trip.
Well, they tell you, everybody tells you don't go down there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Whew.
Everybody on trip. From the pilot getting off the plane to the people in the hotel, don't go down there. Well,
when
you're going to go down there, put up your jewelry.
When you fly
I'm not going.
Yeah, you're going straight to the hotel, motel, Holiday Inn.
Yeesh.
Yeah. Back then, it was just get to writing. Get in the town and get out.
Well, don't you think our lovely Memphis beat writers deserve to, they need to go through that. They need to understand what it was like, right?
So any kind of
flailing football program out there that we can add, I think we should do it. We should let the rest of the country know that the AAC is not just going to stand by and watch this happen. Okay.
See, it's crazy. You've shifted because now with the new playoff format, you're fine with doing this and staying in.
Well, I'm resigned to it.
Right.
I'm resigned to it.
No. Why are you resigned to it? What about hope and getting to a big conference? You're just all done. You've done this.
UCLA and USC going to the Big Ten.
That used to be
any,
me, bro.
They killed it. They killed it. Because my hope was that in 4 years, when Texas and Oklahoma left, or whenever it was, mm-hmm. for the SEC,
you had Big 12 hope.
That the Big 12 would come back to the table. Well, they are going to come back to the table.
Yeah, they're eating out of the pack.
So it's over. It's over. Memphis is not getting into a power league anytime soon. As long as the ACC remains untouched and unscathed, Memphis has no prayer of going anywhere. It is what it is. They're stuck. But at least they have the opportunity, if the AAC remains the sixth best league, which
it's fighting to do.
It should.
It's getting harder.
It should.
Based on what you're adding.
They will have a chance to play in the playoff. I mean, that's all you can hope for at this point. It's not a bad thing to hope for. Because, look, if you go to a power league, you're now going to be at the bottom as opposed to the top. And you'll have more money and you'll have more resources and you'll be able to do things quicker and faster. But, I would ask you, how much fun did Washington State have in the Pac-12? I mean, they were in a power league for a long time. And I'm not saying Memphis is that. I mean, I think Memphis has way more advantages than a place like Washington State. But just because you're in a Power 5 league does not guarantee that you get to be competitive in that league for a long time either. So sometimes you just make the best of what you have. And I think that's kind of what Memphis is forced to do at this point. I mean, there's no other alternative. So I think we need to think long and hard about, all right, is there like a 2-win team out there that we can add that will really send a message to the rest of the country saying that you are not about to leave us out of this equation. We will be participating in realignment also. So New Mexico State, welcome to the American. Jerry Kill, let's go. Legendary coach Jerry Kill.
Wouldn't it be more like an MTSU that just upset Miami?
I think there might be some political pushback to that, right? But maybe. I mean, MTSU's not a bad one. I think MTSU's better than Rice. I mean,
that's fair.
I mean, Rice is a joke. That is the dumbest addition you could have possibly made to your league. Completely kills your credibility athletically. Rice? Why? Why? That was just stupid. Sometimes people make emotional decisions when their backs are against the wall. Mm-hmm. That was one. I think you just got carried away with the academic piece of it. Like the prestige academically.
It's the only piece.
But it doesn't do anything for you on the field. It doesn't do anything for you in terms of.
In fact, it drags you down.
Yeah, I mean,
like
that program is never, ever going to do anything, ever.
Ball and chain.
And it is always going to, it's going to be a bottom feeder, an angler fish. What's the fish that has the light on the mouth? Right? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
The lantern fish, the one that lures fish in with the light. And
he's got a little light on him?
Yeah.
He's got a light?
Yeah, it's like, but it lives
luminescent?
It lives very, very low. It lives on like the
it's
ocean.
It's called an anglerfish.
Yeah,
here it is.
An anglerfish.
You got it.
Rice is an anglerfish of a football program, and they use that light. That's their academics, right? That's what lures the AAC in. And then when they come in, ha! They gotcha. Now you're food. Now you've been tricked. And you have to take the football and basketball programs with you. This is not this is not a competition to go pro in something other than sports here. We're trying to amount and equate to something in athletics. I thought that was the idea. I understand that academics are important, sort of, but who looks at the AAC and says, man, those guys added Rice. They are, nobody's going to say that. They're going to say, you added Rice. Were you stupid?
Sun Belt's happy about that.
I mean, okay, you guys are going to compete in baseball. Congratulations. Maybe we win a College World Series. I mean, that's the only thing you could hope to do with friggin' Rice. Yeah. Are they still good in baseball?
Last I checked.
Yeah, okay, so you have the chance to win a College World Series. I don't care about that. That's not a revenue sport. It doesn't matter to me, right? I couldn't even tell you who won the – was it Mississippi State this year that won it? Who won it this year?
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss won the College World Series?
Yeah, yes. Bianco. He was – remember, he was on hot seat.
Yeah.
Then he got the extension because he won it all. Now he's a king.
Yeah, went on a run, like, out of this world run.
And look, it has changed the campus at Ole Miss, right? It is they're a baseball school now. They don't even go to the football games anymore. That's why Lane's upset.
We're just glad Tennessee lost. Yeah. That's what we're glad. Remember that? They were like the one seed.
In fairness, Mississippi schools, those are revenue sports for Arkansas, Mississippi, and Mississippi State.
Well, they will not. Rice will not be. Baseball will not be a revenue sport.
The American, it's a different. It's a different story.
It will just. It's because nobody else in this league takes baseball seriously. It's just not. It's not going to be a revenue driver. And if that's why you made that decision, then you are truly an idiot. I mean, there. You just have to admit. You have to take that for what it was. We needed some academic prestige, and that is it. And maybe some Texas money.
If I might. Kerrick Jackson just announced his recruiting class for the Memphis baseball team, the first African-American coach there at Memphis, and people are fired up.
Well, I hope the baseball program does well, but that's about as much passion as I've got for it. I mean, realistically.
Is it going to get us to the ACC, Brian?
If it gets us to the ACC, I will be all about it.
Kerrick, go! Part of me feels like we need some more upheaval, though, to try to generate some just more change, and that can benefit a Memphis that's at the top of an American conference.
No, the Big Ten settling on those four teams as opposed to North Carolina, et cetera, is very bad news for Memphis.
Because they're not pulling from the ACC?
And the ACC.
This is what I need.
Then they don't shake up.
Yeah, there's no reason for the ACC to do anything. I mean, they'll just stay where they are.
You don't want to be part of a newly remade Western Conference of some sort or any of that?
Well, there's not enough. No, there's not enough. I mean, even if you took Boise State, Washington State, Oregon State,
what's left?
Yeah, Arizona's going to go to the Big 12. They're going to go to the Big 12. They're going to go to the – because they still have, automatic qualifying status. And I know that goes away with the new playoff, but it's still a power league, right?
So you're
still
getting television. You're getting beat to the Big 12 by these left out correct. Power 12 schools.
Because they are power schools, right? They're proven power.
They're ahead of you in line.
Yeah.
Line just got longer.
Endowments are bigger. Enrollments are bigger, you know.
Do you think if we would have made the Big 12 that the attendance would be bigger right now?
You mean like?
If next year we were going in with Cincinnati, would there be something that would lure a fan to the stadium that otherwise is not there?
I don't know. It's a good question. I think maybe marginally. I don't think it would. I feel like if you're playing North Texas, it's still you're playing North Texas, right? Now, when they got to the Big 12, yes, I think attendance would be – there would be some momentum. There would be some excitement. So
yeah, absolutely.
I think for, like, your opener against Arkansas State, you have more – you know, would you have more than 23,000?
Yes.
Would you have 43,000? Probably not. But, yeah, I mean, I do think when you bake in everything that's going on around the world and in the world of college athletics, there is a...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!